Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America. The newly engaged Sally Buffington is introduced to Craigville. She meets an expansive Cape Cod cottage that is virtually a family member itself. She quickly finds herself competing for airtime among the talkative, assured band of brothers and her new mother-in-law, the cottage's lively and confounded matriarch. Sally, a Cape Cod local, soon wonders how she'll ever be able to maintain her independence, let alone her sense of self, when the day's agenda and every detail already set in stone. But she navigates her life with quiet persistence and a boundless curiosity that guides her to explore life through the creative lens of her camera and her pen. In Sally Buffington's debut memoir, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage, she revisits the memories of the family cottage and through its beauty finds life's simple pleasures and eventually herself. Sally is a writer, photographer, classically trained musician. From her home in Southern California, she migrates back to native ground in Massachusetts, especially her spiritual homeland of Cape Cod. A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage, an Amazon number one bestseller, and author Sally Buffington is our guest on This Week in America. Sally, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. I'm very much honored to be here, Rick.
So much to talk about in the book. It's such an experience you had for over five decades. Let's start by talking about the cottage, Craigville. You said when I became engaged, I had to meet it. It was another member of the family. Clearly, early on, you knew you had a cottage in law, didn't you?
That's an excellent way to put it. I did, Rick, and it was known by the name of the village of that it was located in, you know, as if our cottage defined the village. I'm sure other people do that, too.
Yes.
And you went every summer. There were clearly traditions. This family was very much at home there. And to me, as an only child, having dinner there was sort of like a party every night. I was used to a very quiet household, and suddenly here was a table with 10 people who talked a lot and eating wonderful food and having a great time. So it was a great world. It was also a little bit daunting at first.
Well, it would have to be. You mentioned it was their home. For them, this is their home. For you, this is brand new. How long did it take before you really started to feel comfortable there? And I talked about that trying to maintain your independence while being part of what sounded like a very rigid family.
Well, thank you. I would say it was quite a bit into the time, couple of decades, because at first I only went rather brief periods, and I also had my own family on another part of Cape Cod. So I bet many people know this. You've got to be fair to everybody. Spend the same number
exactly.
of days with. Yeah, so I'd been going probably till about, I'd been married about 25 years, when we had a little more leisure to spend more time, and I was really looking hard at the place, that I began to think, wow, how do I hold my own around here? It took me a good while to get to that point, and then I began to really look at it.
You know, it's interesting. People talk about Cape Cod, and they talk about Cape Cod cottages in a very romantic way. What exactly is a Cape Cod cottage, and is there a special mystique involved?
That's a good, very good question. I'd grown up with the idea the Cape Cod cottage was sort of a simple little place. You went there for a couple of weeks in the summer.
Yes.
You might not own it. You rented it. And it wasn't fancy. It wasn't like a year-round house. And you went to the beach a lot, and it was, as for the romance, I think the song Old Cape Cod and Patti Page put that on the map.
Exactly.
You know, it was a big hit back in the 50s, and I remember hearing it. And plus, it's a beautiful place. You know, it's an idyllic place, and a lot of people, I notice in real estate ads, even on the West Coast, the word Cape Cod Cottage or something like that keeps popping up.
And it sort of defines summer, doesn't it? When you mention, of course, Cape Cod means summer anyway, but a cottage really means summer, doesn't it? It has that meaning that, okay, we're forgetting the rest of the world. We're going to enjoy ourselves. Summer's going to be a lot more fun at the cottage.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, and I think people feel like, oh, that's where you have fun. You put the rest of the time behind you. You know, you're your best happy self. You know, and also, of course, if you, as I did, grew up on the East Coast, you dream of it in the winter. I think people will enjoy reading my book in the winter because, you know, you're thinking back to the summers. And for me, summer is still the great season, even though I live in California.
Well, it really is, especially when you go through harsh winters. You don't have that in California, but you did in New England. Growing up in the Midwest, boy, there was this definite distinction, and summer was, you would want to read about summer year-round, and you can read Sally's book, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage. It's Sally Buffington, the author, our guest on the program. Book available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places, and Sally's website, sallybuffington.com. All this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You grew up in this area. In fact, let's talk about summer memories there, because you say you almost had two sets of friends, those that were there for the summer and the regular friends for winter. What was it like? Was it as charming? Was it as much fun as it sounds like it is?
I think it was for me, Rick. Yes, it was. My parents owned a summer cottage rental business, and that's how I met these summer friends mostly. I did some work. I mean, I was definitely, you know, someone who did chores around the place. But still, you know, I had these friends, and back then people wrote letters, and I would haunt the post office hoping the summer boyfriend would write back, but he seldom did. But you know, I did have a definite summer-winter access to my friends, and summer was an awful lot of fun. People might ask you to go somewhere, or you just simply run into people at the beach, a lot of swimming, horsing around on the float in the, you know, in the lake and things like that.
How did this help you shape yourself, to find yourself? And we'll talk in a second about you. You were very active keeping a diary. You had a journal throughout this period. You had the sketchbooks there. So you were recalling these memories, writing them down as they occurred. But what was it that really helped you find who Sally was during all of this time?
Well, I've always been, though, partly as an only child, a bit of a loner. I like to be by myself. I like to walk in the woods. I did that as even as a young child, woods in a Boston suburb. I like being alone and thinking, I guess you'd say.
Yes.
And in fact, in a way, the Craigville Cottage challenged that a bit at first, because it seemed like a bit like a summer camp for adults in a way. But I've always needed to be alone, and I also read a great deal. And all these things sort of feed your soul.
You know, it's interesting. I mentioned in the beginning the cottage's lively and confounding matriarch. You had to deal with her, but strong-willed yourself. You have her. You're trying to fit into the new family, but you're trying to establish your identity as well. How did you balance all of that? What was the relationship like with your mother-in-law?
It was frequently very pleasant and sometimes not easy. She was a bright, strong woman, Rick. She, I think, by the way, she'd be a great interview for you if you had her here. She was very lively, highly intelligent. But she ran that place. And she might say, well, I've got to. Somebody's got to keep the place going. And she was right. I think you can be a little, you grow rigid as you age, maybe, and that was where I ran afoul of her. Plus, we didn't know each other too well. If I live most of the year 3,000 miles away, it's hard to have built up much of a relationship. And then all of a sudden, you're on her doorstep for 2 weeks.
It is a challenging dynamic, doing it that way, where you're there for a very short period of time. You sort of alluded to this before. At what point did you start realizing, for you, Craigville is special? I'm sure for the Buffingtons, they knew it was special because they had all of these memories there, and they
That's
discovered
right.
who they
yeah.
were there as well. But when did you realize this is, I think you call it your spiritual place. When did you decide to realize that Craigville was different for you?
Well, oddly enough, through some writing, I wrote as a gift to my mother-in-law on her birthday, after I'd been going there about 25 years. I wrote a long piece about the cottage, and I gave it to her as a gift, which is, now that I think of it, probably rather brave of me. Anyway, she read it, and she thanked me, and the rest of the family read it, and I was thanked, and then it disappeared without a trace. But I think I, in writing that, more than I realized, this place had gotten a hold of me. And I also wrote, I realize now, rather possessively. I didn't realize until much later that I had sort of laid a claim to the place in that piece of writing. Well, and it had really started getting to me.
This went on for over 5 decades. And I want to go back and talk about this journaling that you did, because I think there are lessons there for people to journal, not only just to keep track for years, and maybe 30 years later, you go back and look and you see what you did and brings back the memories. But you said you use writing, but to sort of sort things out yourself to make sense of everything that's going on around you.
I do, and I have done so for years. It's not just about the cottage. I still do it. I don't write every day. I find that very difficult. So I write when I'm possessed of the idea. But very often, life rushes by us. And sometimes I think, now, what was that all about? Or, or the other point of view, that was so wonderful. I want to hold it.
Yes.
I don't want to lose this. So I will write for those reasons and many others. It's something I think it's a life tool that I'm very lucky to have.
And again, I think that's something
that would give other people the advice to use it too.
Well, yes, I would think when you start contemplating everything, it's like, you write it down. So you've gone through that process. Now you're going back and reading it. And maybe it brings you, brings a whole new perspective to what it is you're going through in life when you go through this thought process and the writing process and the rereading process. Sally Buffington, our guest on the program, her website is sallybuffington.com. Her memoir, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage, in Amazon number one bestseller. Let's talk about the decision after 5 decades that we really need to move on from Craigville. We want to sell this. We want to find somebody that will take it over. What was that like, and how did you reach that conclusion? Something, this place that meant so much for you, that was your escape during the summer for, as I say, over 5 decades. What was that like, reaching the decision we're going to have to sell?
Well, thank you. I should be clear, it wasn't entirely my decision, of course. The place was jointly owned, as many family places are.
Yes.
And all 5 owners had to decide to do this. I began to foresee it, Rick, in about the last 5 to 7 years that, this is an expense. It's also with people living in different places. How do you maintain something that you use maybe 3 months a year with people living all across the country? Also, the next generation couldn't take it over. One other thing that kept annoying a lot of us, people get very short vacation times. Do they want to go to the same place over and over? Some do, some don't. So unfortunately, we just knew that it was going to happen. Nobody was happy, but we just felt it was bowing to the inevitable. And it was very sad. It was very hard to do. The last day was a terrible day. And my husband still misses it very much. I noticed during the pandemic, we talked about that house just about every single day.
I was going to ask
you
about it.
We can't go there, but we talked about it.
Yes, and how nice it would have been to have had that escape. You mentioned the emotions. What was it like as you left for the last time? In fact, at that point, you probably weren't the owner. You'd signed off on it, and you were leaving. How difficult was it to leave all of those memories behind?
Well, in a way, perhaps I had it easier than the rest because of writing this book. To some degree, I wrote my own deed to the place.
Oh, exactly,
in the book.
Yes.
that's true. It was still very dismal and very sad. It just, that last day, we had done, I think we had a feeling of having done this carefully and well. We didn't feel any guilt or that we'd made some major mistakes or things left out, but I went and walked around the woods once more, and I thought, I will never see this way again. It will not, even if I could go back, it will not be ours. It will change. I just had to bow to the inevitable, yield to it.
Yes.
And also I know that things change. Maybe it was time, for all I know.
We have to take a break here. When I come back, I want to talk about, you've revisited just recently, went back, and what that was like. And I'll talk about that with Sally Buffington, our guest on the program, talking about her memoir and Amazon number one bestseller, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage. Her website is sallybuffington.com. Book available wherever books are sold. And we're back with Sally after these messages. We're back. You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, Sally Buffington, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage, is her memoir. Book available wherever books are sold. Her website, sallybuffington.com. When we left, I was talking with Sally about what it was like when they finally had to sell Craigville after so many decades. And you've now sold it, and you just recently returned, the first time you've been back. What was that experience like? You're there, there's Craigville, and you're not an owner.
Well, it was wildly different as the new owners are remodeling. And we knew that they were going to. I mean, I even knew as I began to close the place, Rick, that I looked around and I thought, you know, what's charming and funky to us is not going to be to them. They're going to remodel. They're doing a very major job. It was not easy to see it because they're putting in a full basement on the house and therefore had to raise it up. So it looked pretty forlorn. It was hard to see. However, I know it's part of the natural process, and all the surroundings are still there just as beautiful as ever. The marsh, the tidal river, the village around it. Plus, I still have some friends in the village, so I was seeing the friends, and that holds no matter what.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned before writing the book might have helped you through this. What's this been like writing the book? The book is receiving excellent reviews, people recounting memories of their childhood, the escapes they had, maybe not Cape Cod, but escapes, areas that they would go for, family vacations, that type of thing. And it took you, what, about a decade to write the book. First of all, why now? Why did you feel, okay, now's the time for the memoir?
Well, actually, I had to learn how to write a memoir. It's one thing to put your words on paper. It's another to make a coherent book. And to use a cliche, every word in there, there's blood, sweat, and tears in that business. My serious writing was the last 4 years when I began to have something that I realized could do it, and I got a lot of editorial help. And then, interestingly, the pandemic helped concentrate me. The final draft really is the mark of the pandemic. Long days at home just zeroing in and getting that final draft in good shape. Then I had some readers critique it for me. And finally, about Thanksgiving of 2020, I thought, I've done it. This is it. And we proceeded from there. And I had a wonderful local media agency, Monkey See Media, help me produce the book. Because, of course, I did not know how to self-publish. It's rather a complex business.
Well, you've done such an excellent job in writing the book. People, the reviews are excellent. People can, as I say, relate. They love your sense of humor, your sense of self as you're writing the book. A couple minutes left here. Something that's really fascinating with your background is how you really look around you for the beauty in life. And I find that so important because we go through life at 120 miles an hour, and sometimes we don't think we see beauty, but it's around us everywhere, isn't it? If you just look a little bit, you'll find something that the beauty that's there that we should all be enjoying every day.
That is absolutely true. And it's there, Rick, in, oh, how you look at the light coming in your house. I've been following it a lot during the pandemic, the light through the day and how it changes every day. Also walking in my neighborhood. Just looking at the plants, the cycle of the year, the plants, there's a lot of beauty in ordinary things, and the cottage highlighted that for me a lot and helped me learn how to do it, I would say.
You've said that you're not retired and you really aren't going to, never will. You want to taste the world and take in every moment. Talk about that, because that's so motivating for so many people that figure, okay, I'm retired. I'm just going to watch Netflix all day. There's really more to life, isn't there? You're out there with this creative flair that you have, really enjoying life and consuming life, all of it.
Well, it goes back to my upbringing and a sense of life is short and it's so rich. It's so interesting. Even in sad or bad times, there are interesting things happening. There's stuff you can laugh at, and then there is creation around you. You know, the world is a very beautiful place in considerable detail. I once had somebody say to me, just look at a dog really carefully. A dog is an amazing piece of creation. And I've thought of that many times, whether it's an animal or a plant. There's not enough time in this life, I think, and I just want to keep using it.
And writing about it, and you've done that so well with the book we're talking about in the program today, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage. Sally Buffington is the author. Her website, sallybuffington.com. Book available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places, and information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about the website, because you do some blogging, and it's not just a memoir that you've done written so well. You have your thoughts on a number of topics, don't you, that we can all enjoy by going to the website?
Absolutely, yes. I've written more about Cape Cod. Also, if you like to cook, I like to write about food. There will be some recipes. There's also some writing about food and also some beautiful photographs. And they're there, of course, in color. All the photographs from the book are in color on the website, too. So I would love to have you come and join me. Picture it as a talk over a cup of coffee and enjoy meeting me that way. I would really be delighted.
Well, I love the background. I mentioned a writer, photographer, classically trained musician. You really bring all those elements into your work, don't you?
I do, and I will be writing about music. One other thing I've been writing about a bit lately is clothes and fashion, why we choose what we do. For instance, colors. That color interests me very strongly. And I have a lot of opinions, but I think you'll enjoy them very much.
Well, and you'll find all of those at Sally's website. The book, again, is A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage. You said one of the problems in writing the book was getting it all down to one book. Are you working on a follow-up of any kind?
I probably will be. It's too early to commit, Rick, but yes, there are many more pieces. A lot was left on the cutting room floor, so to speak.
Well, we will look forward to that. We'll enjoy this, and hopefully there will be a part two. The book is A Life Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage by Sally Buffington. The book available, as I say, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You'll find information and so much more on Sally's website, sallybuffington.com. Go to our website. You can link on directly to Sally's website, get all the information, order the book there as well. Sally, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for taking the time and being with us today.
Rick, thank you so much, and I enjoyed talking with you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, the book, A Place Like This, Finding Myself in a Cape Cod Cottage by Sally Buffington. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.